Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim Daf Samach Vav. We will begin on Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, as we had discussed when we had learned the Mishnah in our previous shiur, the halacha is that if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, we still bring the Korban Pesach. And the Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, halacha zu, that we bring the Korban Pesach even on Shabbos, the Salmu of Bnei Beseira was forgotten by the Bnei Beseira, who were the heads of the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael, heads of the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. They were the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael. Shepam achas chol arba as aliyas b'Shabbos. One year Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos. V'shachu v'lo yodu and Pesach doiches Shabbos umlav. And they did not know if the current Pesach is doiches Shabbos or not. So of course, the Rishonim, the Achronim, all asked the question that Erev Pesach falls out at least once in 7 years on Shabbos. So how could they have forgotten what the halacha was? So the Pashup Shad is that of course they knew the halacha is that the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos. What they didn't remember was that why is the halacha that the Erev Pesach is brought on Shabbos even though it's Erev Pesach? Another question, another approach, which is the approach that I saw the Chassam Sofer takes, is that they should have, we know that the Jewish calendar is manipulated. And the question that they asked was, why don't we manipulate the calendar in a way that Erev Pesach should not fall on Shabbos? For as we learned in our previous year, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, there are all sorts of halachic difficulty. And even if they could have done it any point during the year. And that was the question that they were asked. Another question, that another way of explaining I saw is that, of course they knew that Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, they allowed to do it, the current Pesach might be brought on Shabbos. The question was that, how do we know that they shouldn't try to come up with a solution that would avoid an Issa D'Raisa? We could have two people bring the Korban Pesach together, or it should be brought, somebody should do the Shechita maybe with the left hand. Was there a requirement to try to avoid Chilul Shabbos in bringing the Korban Pesach on Shabbos? Or was there no such requirement at all? And even if Erev Pesach falls on, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, we could do whatever needs to be done. Another way that I saw that the Pnei Yeshua suggests that the question wasn't on the Shechit of the Korban Pesach. The Shechit of the Korban Pesach, they knew, certainly takes place on Shabbos, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. The question they had was regarding the Akhtara, that as we know, the Akhtara of a Korban may be done at night. And the question that they had was, maybe the Akhtara of the Korban Pesach should not take place on Shabbos, rather let it be done Motzei Shabbos and limit the Chilul Shabbos. Says the Gemara, so pam achas chal arba asa aliyas b'Shabbos, one time Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, v'shachu yodu, they forgot, and Pesach doiches Shabbos alav. Amru, so they said, klum yesh odim shideh and Pesach doiches Shabbos alav. Is there anyone that knows, the way we're learning, is there anybody knows why the current Pesach is doiches Shabbos? Amar lahem, Adam Echad Yesh, there's an individual, Sha'olam Ibavel, the Hill Habavli Shemai, the person that came from Bavel, whose name is Hill Habavli, Shishemish Shnei Gedele Ador, that he studied on the great two Gedele Ador, Shmai Vavtalia, the Yedea, and he knows, and Pesach Doich Shabbos Alav, if the current Pesach is Doich Shabbos or not. Shoch Vakaroloi, so they asked Hill immediately to come, and Ramaloi, Klum Atu Yedea, do you know if a Pesach doich Shabbos Amlav, if the Korban Pesach is doich Shabbos or not? Amalhem. So he said to them, V'chi Pesach echad yesh lana b'shanah shadoich Shabbos. Is there only one such a situation during the year? V'aloi habi yoysim v'masayim p'sochim. We have 50 Shabbosim every year. Every Shabbos we bring two Korban Tamids. Every Shabbos we bring two Korban Musaf. So it's 50 times 4. So we have 200 situations that we bring a carbon on Shabbos without taking into consideration the Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, that could also fall on Shabbos that we brought Kabbonis. But they asked him, okay, certainly we see that the halacha clearly is that they bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. But minayin lecha, where do you know this halacha from? Amalehem, so he responded, Nema me'ada b'pesach, the Torah says the word me'adoi regarding the Korban Pesach, Nema me'adoi eitzel b'tamid, and the Torah also uses it regarding the carbon tamid. Ma may adoy hamim betamid doiches Shabbos. Just the may adoy that we speak about the carbon tamid even comes on Shabbos. Af may adoy hamim Pesach. So when the Torah uses the word may adoy be carbon Pesach, similarly doiches Shabbos, it has the ability to be doiches the carbon Shabbos. Void. And furthermore, he said, Kavachimer, who I could even make a Kavachimer, that ought to be the halacha. Is somebody doesn't bring the carbon tamid, there is no chiv karbis, because the carbon tamid is like all other mitzvahs asay, that the halacha is that there's no punishment for violating a mitzvah asay. And still, the halacha is, doichas Shabbos, the carbon tamid is brought on Shabbos, Pesach. Pesach, certainly, which is onish karus, as we've discussed, if somebody neglects to bring a Karm Pesach, he bemezid, his chayv karus, certainly, ain't a din shadoicha to Shabbos, it's certainly doicha to Shabbos, and that's why the halacha is that we bring the Karm Pesach on Shabbos, said Hillel. Miyad, says the Gemara, hishivu b'roish, they pointed him to be a Rosh, a Menil, a Nasi, a Leim, and he was appointed to be the Nasi. As all the Rishonim explain, they always appointed the most significant individual to be the Nasi, and they saw that he was the person who should be appointed to be the Nasi, because the person who was most proficient in Divrei Torah, the person who's able to paskin a shayla, he is the person that we should appoint to be the nasi. Why did they do this? Miyari shivu b'rosh, and then only minu la nasi. So the Binyan Yod explained, to appoint him to be the rosh, that they could do immediately. However, to give him an official appointment, that they had to wait until all the Gedol Yisrael gathered. So his shivu b'rosh, that they did immediately. Umenu nasi, that they waited till later. Furthermore, I saw the Chasam Soif explains that until then, they were the job of nasi and of Beis David traveled together. And even if somebody wasn't necessarily the Gadol Hador, he could be the nasi. But what the B'nai B'Seira realized at this point, that not only the individual who is appointed as the Rosh Bezdin should obviously be the greatest Talmud Chacham, but even the person who's appointed to be the Nasi, the person who's appointed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, should be the person who is the greatest Talmud Chacham. That is the individual who should be our Nasi. And that's why when they recognized that Hillel was the greatest Talmud Chacham, they appointed him to be the Nasi. Seeing that these people were missing and not knowledgeable in all the Hilchos Pesach, he sat and taught them Hilchos Pesach. Hischel Mekantrim Devarim, and he started to be sharp with them. Amlehem, and he told them, Mi Garmlechem, what caused Shelech mi Bavel Eya Nasi Aleichem, that I should come from Bavel and be the Nasi? There must have been laziness. In other words, it's not coincidental that I came here and gave the shir and was appointed to this position. Because you did not properly study by Shnei Gedol Hador, Shmai Veftalion. So the way I saw the Ben Yoyod explains the Gemara is that Hillel, who is known to be extremely modest, this statement that he made was not in any way, chas v'shalom, a lack of modesty. He was actually saying this out of modesty. What he was saying is that he doesn't consider himself worthy to be the Nasi. And so why was he appointed to be the Nasi? It must be that because they didn't treat Shmaya v'Atalion properly, that's how I became the Nasi. Had you treated Shmaya v'Atalion properly, this would have never happened. So the Bein Yaakov explains that what happened was that till he became the Nasi, he did not speak to them about why they forgot the halacha. The reason he didn't speak to them about why they forgot the halacha, he said because he thought that maybe these were people that looked for honor. And since they looked for honor, that's why it was understandable why they forgot the halacha. However, now that he saw that they were extremely modest and humble people, that they were willing to give up their position to him because they recognized that he was greater than they. So now he says, if these people are such great people that they're willing to walk away from their position of power just because they know I'm a greater Talmud Chacham, so how did it come that they should forget this very important halacha? So I also saw that another way of explaining this Gemara, because again, the question is very strong. There's no one in Shas that is always described as a tremendously honest modest person like Hillel. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, teaches us Lo'olam ye Adam Anvason kehillel. The Hillel is given as the paradigm as Nasius. So now the question is, why? How did this happen that he's being so sharp? So I saw that the Sefer Panine Das explains that there's an important lesson. Even though Hillel was so modest, as we are now describing, but Hillel, as we also just described, was appointed to be the Nasi. And Hillel recognized that it is the obligation of the Nasi, it is the obligation of the leader of Klal Yisrael, not to be modest when that's not what's called for. On the contrary, to be strong, because that's part of his responsibility as the Rav of the community. Now that he was appointed to be the Rav of the community, he has to do what's required. And if it's required that he has to give them Musar, that's what he has to do. As the Pasuk says by Shmuel, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, V'yayma Shmuel, Halayim kata at b'ayin, Shmuel said to Shol, Halayim kata b'aynecha, if you think you're not great, Rosh Shifta Yisrael ato, and you have to act and according to the position that you have. Amlai, so the B'nai B'Sarah said to Rebbe, what would be the halacha shochav v'lohevi sakam erev Shabbos? If somebody forgot to bring the knife from before Shabbos to the Azorah, Mahu, what should he do? Amalhen, so he said, halacha zeh shemati v'shachachti. I forgot what the halacha is. And as I saw, that there obviously were not enough knives in the Azorah for all the current Pesachs that all of Klal Yisrael brought on Erev Pesach. The Chasam Sofer says another pshat. The Chasam Sofer says, we know that the Gemara says that the Mokum Shchit, the place where animals slaughtered, is very hot. And therefore the knife absorbs and expels because of that heat. So somebody is shechting one Karban Pesach, and the knife absorbs tam from that Karban Pesach. If you're going to use that knife to shecht another Karban Pesach, the tam will go from one Karban to another Karban. And as we've learned in our Masechta more than once, you're not allowed to eat only from a Karban Pesach on which you are registered. And therefore, the halacha was, therefore, they need to have so many knives. And what will be if somebody forgot to bring his knife from before Pesach, from before Erev Pesach Shabbos, what should he do? Amalem, so he said, halacha zeh shemati v'shachachti. I actually forgot. Alanach lem Yisrael, let's rely on Klal Yisrael. Im ein neviim heim, even if they're not neviim, b'nei neviim heim, they will know what to do, they'll remember from their forefathers. Lamacher, and indeed the next day, Misha Pascha Tlea, whoever had a carbon paste that was a sheep, tochloi b'tzamoroi, would put the knife into the wool. Misha Peskoi Gedi, that doesn't have wool, tochloi ben kronov, put it between its horns. Ra'a Maisa, so Hillel saw this story, and this guy halach, and he remembered, v'amakachem planim b'kish ma'ay v'avtalyo, that that's the way to bring the Korban Pesach, if you forgot to bring it from before Pesach. And as I saw, the Mashal explains, when the Gemara says that they're not Nevi'im, they're B'nai Nevi'im, that what makes Klal Yisrael strong is that we have Menhagim. And if we have Menhagim, then we will always know what to do. So I saw, in fact, that this is the basis for how we know that one should follow the strength of Menhagim. All Hillel said at the beginning was, let's see what they do. And once we know that what they do, that is what we should follow. Klal Yisrael follows Menhagim under all circumstances. Of course, there is a discussion by the Paiskim, what is the halacha if the minig was, how the minig was established. And the Magen Avraham quotes, the Magen Avraham, this is Simen Tofresh Tzadik, Simf Kotnecha Beis, that if there's a minig that's followed in Klal Yisrael that doesn't have any basis, we have to study that minig. On the other hand, the Ramah in Simen Tofresh Tzadik Sif Yudzayin says, Ein Levatl Sheminig, we should never discount any minig, or lila olav, or ridicule it. Kiloi l'chinam hukva. There was no minig that was established without a good reason. The Chasam Sofer in a tshuva in Aruch Chaim Simen Nun Aleph says, "Kol mishem afakbek al minhagim shel Yisrael. Whoever questions any minig in Klal Yisrael, tzorik bedika achrav. We have to check who is this individual." And he also says in a different tshuva, in Yerideya Sim Kuf Zayin, that it's an Issa Deraisa L'shanig M'minig Yisrael, that to go against a minig. The Shvus Yaakov, in the Shalos Tshuva Shvus Yaakov Chelik 7 Vav, again, it has to be a well-established minig, it has to be a minig that has a reason. But if there's a halacha, if the Shulchan Aruch establishes a halacha, and now I'm going to say that I'm going against the halacha, that's not a minig that one should follow. On the contrary, he uses a very sharp language. He says that the same letters that make up the word minig also make up the word gehenim. And somebody is going to rely and say, well, what I'm doing is a minig, even though it clearly is a violation of the halacha, that is gehenim. That's something that we should never follow. Furthermore, I saw there's a difference when it comes to minig by Dinei Mamonis and in other situations. By minig on Dinei Mamonis, it seems that the Paiskim give a minig much more credence. Of course, the question in studying this Gemara is that you needed to know what happens if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos and they forgot to bring the knife to the Azara. But if they knew that it was Erev Pesach, what they should have done is, on Shabbos, they should have made an announcement that everybody should be careful to bring their knives to the Azara before Shabbos. So the Tosfos Rid and Rishash say that of course they made such an announcement, but even though such an announcement was made, it doesn't mean that everybody follows the instruction. Another pshat that Yerushalmi seems to learn in this Gemara, a different approach to the whole Gemara. The Shalmi's approach to the Gemara is that they had indeed forgotten if you bring the Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, as is Pasuk Pshat in the Gemara. And once they didn't remember until Shabbos. And all of what we're discussing happened on Shabbos. And since it all happened on Shabbos, that's why they had to figure out what to do on Shabbos. Another Pshat is that the announcement or this entire situation was only made right before Shabbos, Friday afternoon, when not everybody had the opportunity to get to the Azara on time. Tosfos asks, but isn't the halacha that the knife has to be a kli sharis. And if the knife has to be a kli sharis, how did they use the knives that they brought from home? So Tosfos says they were magdashit. But Tosfos in Masechet Zvachim, actually based on this Gemara that's in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the very Maskil Ezu says, from here we see that the knife that they used to shech the Korban Pesach doesn't have to be a kli sharis. And the Rashba explains, if the halacha, as we've learned, is that shechita ksher b'zor, so if shechita is ksher b'zor, therefore the knife that the zor is going to use to do the shechita also doesn't have to be a kli sharis. Furthermore, from here we see that Yerushalayim obviously was not considered a Rishus HaYochid or a Karmelis, because otherwise Yerushalayim would have had a Erev, and they could have carried the knife. But here, obviously Yerushalayim was considered Rishus HaRabim, where they could not carry the knife. Amamar, so as we learned earlier, Nemar Ma'ad B'Pesach, Nemar Ma'ad B'Tomit, we learned the Braisa, that the Torah uses the same word Ma'ad B'Karim Pesach, and the same word Ma'ad B'Karim Tomit, Ma Ma'ad Yom B'Tomit, just like the Torah uses the word Ma'ad B'Karim Tomit, and from there we learn Doichus Shabbos, we bring the Karim Tomit even on Shabbos, Af Ma'ad Yom B'Pesach, so to the Halacha is Doichus Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, the Tomit Gufe Menol on the Doichi, Shabbos, how do we know that the Karim Tomit is brought even on Shabbos? And we're going to say that whatever the Torah uses the word me'adoi, it means even on Shabbos. So ask the Gemara Pesach Nami. When we speak about the Karm Pesach, haksiba b'me'adoi, the Torah also uses the word me'adoi, and we didn't automatically understand that therefore the Karm Pesach could be brought on Shabbos. El adoi le'mashmalei, because the word me'adoi does not automatically mean that you could bring it on Shabbos. Hachanami, so say the same thing by Karm Tamid, that even though the Torah uses the word me'adoi le'mashmalei, it doesn't automatically mean that it may be brought on Shabbos. So how do we know that the Karm Pesach is brought on Shabbos? The Karm Tamid is brought on Shabbos, that we're learning the Karm Pesach from it. And then Makra, the way we know that the Karm is brought on Shabbos, the Torah says, Oilus Shabbos b'Shabbatoi el Oilus HaTamid, that besides the carbon, the Torah speaking about the carbon musaf, which we bring on every Shabbos, and the Torah says besides the carbon musaf, which is brought every Shabbos, we also bring the carbon tamid. Bechlal, from here we learn that the oilus tamid is brought on Shabbos, and then we learn the carbon Pesach because the Torah uses the same word. So the Sfas Emes asked the question. The carbon tamid, the word tamid means constant. So if this carbon is called carbon tamid, isn't that the best raya that it should be brought on Shabbos? Why do we have to have all of these limudim that the Gemara is suggesting? So the Sfas Emes says, if we wouldn't have a special limud to teach us that the carbon tamid is brought on Shabbos, we would think that every day of the week we bring two carbon tamids, the Boiko Ben Abayim, one in the morning and the afternoon. And on Shabbos, we could fulfill the obligation of bringing the Karban Tamid with the two Karban Musaf that brought, the two animals that are brought for Karban Musaf. How do we know that in addition to that, we still have to bring the same daily Karban Tamid? For that, we need a limud. And then the Braisa continued. That Hill said to the B'nai B'Seir, Amamar, Void Kavachaima. We're going to say the following Kavachaima. Omat Tamid Shein Onish Kurs. That there is no Chiv Kurs if somebody doesn't bring the Karmat Tamid. Daloch is Doiches Shabbos. Pesach Shonish Kurs. And it didn't Shayutch Doiches Shabbos. But ask the Gemara Ikla Mefrach. But that Kavachaima could be refuted because Malat Tamid Shekain Todur. So since the Karmat Tamid has to be brought every day, therefore it should be brought on Shabbos. Whereas, as the Tzlach explains, yes, the Karm Pesach has to be brought on an annual basis, but maybe on a year where Pesach falls on Shabbos, which is not every year, we won't bring a Karm Pesach. V'kolol. And there's another chumrah that a Karm Tamid has. It's a Karm Oila. It's completely consumed on the Mizbeach. So, So answers the Gemara. Kavachayim amul bereishim. In fact, Hill first told the Bnei Beseira this Kavachaymer as a basis why the Karban Tamid, why the Karban Pesach should be brought on Shabbos. However, as we just learned, or Perchua, it was actually refuted, and then he said Gzeir Shava. Asked the Gemara of Chimach the Gzeir Shava, so Hill had this Gzeir Shava, connecting the Aloch of the Karban Pesach, the Karban Tamid, so Kavachaymer Lomeli, why would he need to say Kavachaymer? The Kavachaymer could be refuted. A Gzeir Shava doesn't get refuted that quickly. Eladu Kamalu says this is what he was saying. Bishlam Gzeir Shava like Gemrisu. You might not have had this Gzeir Shava. And the Aloch is, Ein Adam Dom Gzeir Shava Mi'atzmai. A person cannot compose his own Gzeir Shava only if he learned it from his Rebbe. Because the definition of a Gzeir Shava is that we take two words in the Torah that are similar and we learn one from the other. But who says that these two words should be connected? Only Allah, only if something that we have a Kabbalah going back to Moshe Rabbeinu Sinai. However, Kavachaymer, Dadam Dam Me'atzmai, a Kavachaymer which is based on logic, a person can compose himself. So you should have had this Kavachaymer to teach you that we could bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbos, to which they told him, Amrle, Kavachaymer Prichahu, it's a Kavachaymer that can be refuted. Amamar, so we said before, Lamachar, that the next day, Misha Pascha Tla, whoever brought a Karban Pesach from a sheep, Teichle Bet Simroi, would put it into its wool. Gedi, and whoever had a Karban Pesach that was a goat, Teichle Ben Krona would put it in its horns. Ask the Gemara, but how may one do so? V'kavod avoy de b'kachim. You're using kachim to transport the knife. And the Aloch is, the Torah says, Lo savid b'b'chor sherecha. You're not allowed to do any avoida with the Bechor. And just like you're not allowed to do the avoida with a Bechor, so too you're not allowed to do avoida with any kachim. Says the Gemara, Kehillel. What they did was something that Hillel used to do common often. The Tanya Amarlov of Hillel, they said regarding Hillel, Miyama Lemal Adam Belosai, no one ever did Me'ilah with his carbon oila. Because we know, as soon as you designate an animal as a carbon oila, the halacha is, it can't be used for any other, it's kachim. But, and if you use it for your own purpose, it's considered mila behegdish. What he did was, to avoid anybody ever making that kind of an error, mevia chulin lazara, he would bring it when it was still chulin to lazara, and then magdisha, and then immediately be magdashit, v'saymach yad of olev v'shachtoi, so he only did the shechita a moment before. Another pshat that I saw, the Rebbeinu Chananel said, here we were talking about Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is not kachi kachim. And if it's not kachi kachim, then there's no concern of me'ilah. So even though there is no concern of me'ilah, only by oila, which is kachi kachim, there's such a concern. Still, Rebbeinu Chananel says, they didn't want there should be an appearance that they're doing a void of a kachim, and therefore they did it right before they were only magdashit in the first moment. Because even though I saw that Dvar Shmuel explains, that even though the Issa Me'ilah, as we just explained, would not apply, because the Issa Me'ilah only applies by kachi kachim, the pasuk that we quoted earlier of Lo Savid B'Bechor Sherecha, that there's an Issa to do avoid the B'Kachim, still would apply. And therefore, they didn't do it, they had to come up with this approach. So I saw a beautiful pshat that Yitzchak, that Avraham Avinu was going with Yitzchak to the Akedah, and he took the wood and he put this on, and he put them on Yitzchak. But if Yitzchak was designated to be a carbon, actually a carbon oila, the question is how could they put wood for him to transport? We're learning this Meila, there's an Issa Avoid of a Kachim. So Yeshua Yaakov actually explains that that was the question that Yitzchak Avinu we find asked Avram. Yitzchak, we find in Nakeda, turns around to Avram Avinu and says to him, Aya hasel oila, where's the seh? Because Yitzchak was aware that he's a carbon oila, and therefore he's asking his father, if I'm a carbon oila, then you couldn't have put the wood on me. It must be that I'm not the carbon oila, that there's going to be an animal as a carbon oila, and therefore The question he's asking is, where is it? Ayasel oila. To which Avram Avinu responded to him, Elakim yir lo yaseh. That Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to bring a seh. He wants us to bring you as a carbon. But I am also following the behavior of Hillel. What was the behavior of Hillel? The behavior of Hillel was that he designated the carbon only in the last moment. So at this moment, when you're walking with me to the Akedah, you are not yet a carbon oila. And since you're not yet a carbon oila, the issur of doing avoida with a carbon doesn't yet apply. But ask the Gemara, so what did the Gemara say? That they only were magdish the animal as a carbon as they brought it into the Azara. But ask the Gemara, Pesach b'Shabbos heichi matzim magdish lei. How could they have been magdish the animal as a carbon on Pesach itself? V'tanan, doesn't the Mishnah Masech Debeya daf lamed vov amabeis teach us? A magdishim, we're not allowed to be magdish an animal. A marichim, we're not allowed to say erchi or erch ploini olai. A machrimim, we're not allowed to designate anything as a cherim. Ve magbiim, trumas amaisus, we're not allowed to remove trumas amaisus. Kol elu b'yontif amru, all of these halachas apply in yontif. Kal v'choymer b'shabbos. So how could they have done this on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara. Hani mili, when is there a halacha that I can't designate an animal as a carbon on Yom Tov Shabbos? B'chay v'shen kvulam zman, that they don't have to be brought today. So that they don't have to be brought today, I have no right to be magdish them on Shabbos. However, b'chay v'shen kvulam zman, carbon that should be brought today, those carbonus magdishim, we could be magdish even on Shabbos and Yontif. Dama Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan indeed taught us, magdish adam pischei b'Shabbos, you could be magdish your carbon on Shabbos, the chiyos b'Yontif and Yontif. So the question is that isn't this just something done with machshava? And the halacha is that if it's done machshava, so it's not a malacha. So we see from here that the halacha is the why you're not allowed to be magdish on Shabbos. Because being magdish on Shabbos is similar to mekach hamemker. It's similar to doing business. And when there's an issur of doing business on Shabbos yontif, the business that's usur is not only in a way where you are verbally doing business, but even mentally doing business. The halacha is that it's usur. Furthermore, the Gemara says that he was magdishit on Shabbos. But the question is, why couldn't they be magdishit, asked the Sfas Emes, from before Shabbos, that the kegdish should be chal on Shabbos? There is no problem of being magdish on Shabbos. So he says that even that should not be done l'chatchila, it's a shvus. Doing something in such a fashion is asur, or moreover, what's the reason we weren't magdish to the last minute? As we discussed a moment ago, because we did not want you to do avoida with an animal. The halacha that you don't want to do avoida with an animal doesn't just apply by an animal that's hegdish, but an animal that had this type of hegdish, where we were magdish it before Shabbos, and it will become, and it'll only be chal on Shabbos, that is also considered hegdish. And in fact, I saw that there's a tshuva from Rav Ozna Zatzal, and the Shalos tshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelik Yud Simen Kuf Samach Vav, that as soon as you designate something for Hegdish, it becomes Hegdish. He says, and he discusses a very interesting question. He says, sometimes people are in shul, they're davening, and there's someone who's collecting tzedakah, and you take money out of your pocket that you're going to give that money for tzedakah. And then the person who collects that, who's collecting that money, never comes to you. And you still have that dollar bill. He says that that dollar bill is already hegdish. The moment you took it out of your pocket with the intention of being hegdish, maybe it's already hegdish. And therefore, he says that the right thing to do is, even if you're taking the money out of your pocket, you're preparing it, he says it should not. You should not designated to be hegdish, not even just in your mind, until you actually give it for tzedakah. Otherwise, you could end up with a problem that this money already has the status of hegdish. You will menader it for hegdish, and then you're going to use it for a different purpose. Ask the Gemara, But there's another problem. Moving this animal, bringing this animal to the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, there's an issue of mechamer. The halacha is that the Torah says, that we're not allowed to do melacha on Shabbos with our animals, and bringing our animal to the Beis HaMikdash is also in the category of mechamer. Answers the Gemara, mechamer kalach yad. It was not done in the normal fashion. Since it's not, because these animals are not normally used for transporting items. Or moreover, even if they were to be used for transporting items, they don't transport items by sticking them in the wall or hanging them on their horns. Ask the Gemara, fine, it's kalachiyad, and therefore it's not mechamer deraisa. But ask the Gemara, mechamer kalachiyad nami nedi sur raisa lika, there may not be an issa deraisa here, however, sur derabonim yikur. Why is this not an issa derabonim? Says the Gemara, Hanan the Bay Kumenei, and that was exactly the question that the Bnei B'Seir asked Hillel. Dovish Yesh Lo Hatam in a Torah, something which is Mutam Midaraisa, V'dvor Shfus Omer Lefonov, and there's a Derabonon that prevents it. Lakri Kalach Yabim Makam Mitzvah Mai. Can we do it with a Derabonon, with a Shinui, because we want to fulfill a Mitzvah? Omelon, to which Hillel said, this was a halacha that I forgot. Let's rely on Klal Yisrael. If they themselves are not Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im Heim. And therefore, I will see what they do, and that will be the best raya what to be done. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol HaMisyar. If somebody is arrogant, Em Chacham Hu, if he is a Chacham, Chachmasoi, he will forget his chokhmah. Navihu, nevuasa mistalakas menu. He will lose his nevuah. But I saw a good, beautiful vort from the Ben Yoyada. Klai Yisrael may not be nevi'im, but Klai Yisrael are roy to be nevi'im. When are Klai Yisrael roy to be nevi'im? If they follow the menhagim that they heard from their previous generations. So why is somebody who is arrogant punished in such a serious fashion? So the Gra and Dain Elio explains that Komi Shesh Begasas Aruach, Chazal teaches us that anybody who's arrogant is Kilo Eved Averes Kechavim. It's as if he is worshipping Avodah Zarah. And certainly in a place where there is Avodah Zarah, that is a place where it can't be Chachma. In a place with his Avodah Zarah, there can't be Nevuah. And therefore, he gets punished in such a serious fashion. I saw that the Sefer Sifsei Chaim explains. He says, in order for a person to have Chachma, the person to have Nevuah, he has to be a person that knows what to do. He has to be a person who knows how to behave properly. And if this person doesn't know how to behave properly, then he can't be a chacham or a navi. Where do we see that if he's a chacham, he forgets his chachma? We learn it. We find in our Gemara that Hillel was upset at them, and what happened was he said halachazu shachachti v'shachachti. So I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains the word chachma stands bekoyach ma. Bekoyach, how is a person worthy of becoming a chachma? Ma, because he treats himself in a very ma, as he's not great. If he's mesiyar, chas v'shalom, if he thinks he's great, then he can't be a chachma. And navihu, if he is a navi nevuah mistalakas v'menu, he forgets his nevuah. We find this by Devorah. The ksiv, in the shiras Devorah in Shoftim, she says, Chodlu Prozim B'Yisrael, they, Klal Yisrael, no longer lived in cities that weren't fortified with a wall around it, because they were scared of their enemy. And Devorah says, At Shekamti Devorah, until I, Devorah, got up, Shekamti Ein B'Yisrael. So she was sort of boasting that only till she came around were Klal Yisrael in a situation of fear. And then the pasuk says, "V'ksiv uri uri devari uri uri devari shir." The devara had to ask for the Shekhinah to come back to her. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, she had to say it twice. Uri, Uri. The fact that she said it twice is an indication that she was begging for it to come back. It had left.
Is a chacham, he forgets his chachma. If he's a navi, he loses his nevuah.
How do we know that? Mi Moshe. The ksiv, the pasuk says that v'yiksef Moshe b'kido achayil. Moshe got angry when they came back from the Mechemes Midian for them having left the females alive. The ksiv, and then the pasuk says v'yom alaz akoyin al anche at sava haboyin l'mechama zoyis chukas atayra shetziva Hashem. And that's when Moshe, that's when Elazar taught Klai saw the parsha of Kashering. Mechlal, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu teach it to them? It must be the Moshe Elamimei, Moshe forgot it, and therefore Eliezer had to say it. And Navihu, if he is a Navi Nevoah, some Mistalakas Femenu, he loses his Nevoah. How do we know that from Elisha? The Ksiv, Elisha tells Yoram Melech Yisrael, when he came to see him with Yoshafet and Melech Adam, Lule Pnei Yoshafet Melech Yehuda and Inoisa, and Ma'avet Alech Vemarecha. Not for the fact that I wanted to give honor to Yoshafet, I would have never looked at Yehoram, who was a Rasha. The Ksiv, and after Elisha makes this very sharp statement, the pasuk says, "Vatekchuli menagin." He asked them they should bring somebody who could play an instrument. V'hoi kenagin menagin v'til of Yad Hashem. That means because he got angry at Yehoram, He lost his nevuah and he had to do something to bring it back. Even though we find that Moshe and Elisha and our Gemara were punished, but they weren't punished on a permanent basis. Because as I saw, the Mefarshim explained, it's different somebody who already had a position of greatness, even though he's kayus, even if he gets angry, he loses it, but he doesn't lose it on a permanent basis. And therefore, it was only a temporary. Another pshat that I saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu, Elisha, weren't by nature people who had a temper. Since this was only a temporary situation, that's why they weren't punished in such a significant way. Another pshat is that even though they got angry and they were punished, but they got angry because they saw something that was wrong. And because they saw something that was wrong, even when you see something wrong, there's a way to react, and they maybe should not have reacted in such a sharp fashion, it's still not the same as when it's just somebody who has a temper. Amar Mani Vepatish, Kol Shekoyis, anyone who gets angry, Afilu Paiskam Lov Gedulim and Hashmayim, even if he was predestined to be in a very serious position, Meridin I say he loses it. Menalon, Meliyav. Eliyav was the brother of David HaMelech. Shnemar, when he saw David HaMelech coming to where they were waging battle with the Pelishtim, the pasuk says, "V'yicha af Eliyav b'David." Eliyav got upset. "V'yom elom ezei radita. Why did you come here? Amino tashtum atat soin ha'hinav emidbar. You're supposed to take care of our sheep. With whom did you leave those sheep? And the deity, I know, as a doin chavis royal of Avcha, klamar voice of Chamirata, I know that you're not a good person and you only were curious to see what's going on at the war. And when it came, the pasuk says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel that one of Yishai's children should be appointed to be the king. Vaza Shmuel Meshchinu. So Shmuel went to anoint them and he looked at all of the children. Bikulaksiv, by all of them, it says that Shmuel approached them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Loi b'zeh boch Hashem, this is not the one that was chosen. Whereas Belioksiv, Yom Hashem al Shmuel, Al Tabit Amarev al Gvah Kamasoi, don't look at his looks, Ki Mastiu. Mastiu means that I despised him. Now, Mechlad, I have a Rochem Le'edna, till now he was good, and now I decided that he shouldn't be good. What happened? Because till now, he had not
shown his temper, his anger, and therefore he perhaps should have been the king. But because he showed his anger, that's why he lost it. So I saw in the Sefer Eretz Tzvi from the Kozel Gavarov that he quotes the Chovas Halvavis, who says that if somebody speaks Lashon Hara about somebody else, he loses his chusim, and they're given to the person about whom he spoke. So he says that's Pshat in our Gemara, that Eliyahu was originally supposed to be the king, but because he got upset with David HaMelech, and that's why he lost his chusim, and David HaMelech got his chusim, and since David HaMelech got his chusim, now David HaMelech having his own chusim plus the chusim of Eliyahu, that's why he was appointed to be king. So we see how important it is that if somebody gets angry, it's like if you said Lashon Hara on that person and you can lose your schusim, and those schusim go to someone else who end up with your schus. And moreover, our Gemara taught us that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for getting angry. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu got angry for good reason, they had done contrary to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told them to do, the halacha is that you're still not supposed to get angry. And the Sefer Alufa Yehuda says, the Pasuk says, Lo Yavarti Mimitzvasecha. Avarti means to get angry. Lo Yavarti, I didn't get angry even Mimitzvasecha. Even if the reason for my anger was to protect your mitzvahs, Lo Yavarti, I still have to be careful not to get upset, not to get angry.